I have lost count of the programs we've done on the global financial crisis. We've looked at it from every angle, including rectally, I think. But there is still blood in that stone, and I'm going to squeeze it now. Michael Casey, who's an Australian journo who now works for the Wall Street Journal, has come up with... The book is called The Unfair Trade, How Our Broken Global Financial System Destroys the Middle Class. Mike's currently on a home visit to Perth where he's been launching it, and he joins me from the ABC studio. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Philip. Thanks for having me.
You told my producer that destroys the middle class in the subtitle makes vaguely uneasy. Why?
Well, because, it's a politicised term. It's an effective one, useful for selling a book, perhaps, but ultimately also because I am looking at the global impact of the sweeping changes we've seen. Sort of point to a place like China where I go to look to where the ordinary Chinese, if you like, are affected by changes going on there and say that their middle class is being destroyed as fast as they are. I do think that certainly if you look at the American middle class, where I spend a lot of my attention, you've got this sense that the American dream is being lost. And so it holds in places but doesn't actually hold entirely. And of course, it's a very vague term, the middle class.
Okay, we now both agree on that. Now, you've suffered from journalistic wanderlust for years. Where have you been writing over the last decade?
Well, started out in Perth, of course, 3 years at the West, but I then a couple of years in Indonesia just before the fall of Suharto, New York for 6 years after that, then did 6 years in Argentina, now back in New York. I stints in Thailand early on in my career as well, so a few places, yes.
Well, let's start our tour together. Let's start our tour together and look at broken middle classes thither and yon. You start, as we call this program did months ago, by looking at the crisis in Iceland. Why Iceland?
Well, Iceland was one of the most dramatic cases of a financially led, it went beyond control. It went from a country that was, you know, built on the tradition of fishing and farming to one in which almost the entire country seemed to be employed in financial services. That is a country that decided to become a hedge fund, and so it was.
Well, they don't have many hedges, do they?
No, they don't.
It's a very treeless vista, as you largely described.
Yeah. Right, it's the one big. But they then of course went bust. Because this house of cards of gains upon financial gains fell apart. And Iceland has been a very interesting case study in how to then sort of pick up the pieces and try to... They've come down very heavily on their banks and their bankers especially and run them out of town and ultimately kind of re-empowered the average person's control, not only over the banks but over a political system that very much in the pay of the banks. So I look upon Iceland, albeit you know, a nice little simple laboratory that can't necessarily translate to the rest of the world, as nonetheless... an example for others to follow and how we might kind of restore control over our...
And get it, how Rupert sort of pays you at the Wall Street Journal, because which sound almost dangerously left-wing and radical.
Yeah, you're not sound the other way as well, hopefully.
Well, of course, but you're not entirely enamoured of the banking system. In fact, that's central to the book, isn't it?
Absolutely, but I think you could also make a very strong argument that that is a very strong free market capitalist position to take. Any allows a large sector of the economy to gain the rest of it and ultimately draw upon a subsidy from that sector is, of course, a breach of the free market system, and I could allude to a particular sector in this country. But the sort of the financial sector has... basically run this big boom on the backs of American taxpayers. And that's hardly a functioning free market system.
Well, let's go back to Iceland, which fixed its problem by forcing the banks to default on the loans they'd taken out with foreign creditors.
Right. Absolutely. So it is a part and parcel of the risks that any investor takes. And if those... risks prove to have been beyond one that's going to return the money you expect, then losses should be taken. That's a fundamental law of
but that's not the interest in crisis.
No.
As you point out, the modus operandi in Europe is to protect them.
There's this Damocles sword that hangs over the heads of society, big or too big to fail bank go under. There's a systemic crisis that comes from that. And that's something that can be debated. We don't quite know whether or not the collapse of, say, Bank Paribas, and I'm by no means suggesting that Bank Paribas, the big French bank, to go under, but if we were to let that such a bank of that size fall, that there would be some not. The problem is that we've let ourselves get into that situation in the first place, and that's where Iceland's case is important. But with that risk over our heads, banks have basically taken the political process to hostage, and it's continuing. This is the case back in 2008 in the US, and it's very sad to see that the same problem is persisting in Europe.
And of course, the people are expecting